Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here. It is Monday, September 12th, 2022. The hot days of summer. Are they behind us? Well, it's cooler. It depends on where you're at. At least it started to cool off here in Central Texas. We're appreciating you joining us on this podcast. It is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in audio format and do so each and every week that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. We're really excited to have you here. And so much is going on in the marketplace. This industry, contraction, more and more contraction. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I got Mark Helm joining us. And as he's going to take over the co-hosting role, Jack is, you're not going to believe this, but Jack Nunnery, who is a regular part of the podcast, who couldn't wait for years before he retired. He says, Lickin', 2 years out and I'll be joining you on the podcast. Well, he retired, joined me. The word got out. And there's a company that is has recruited him away. I can't say much about it because his first day is today, but he recruited him out of retirement. Can you believe it? Maybe it's today. Maybe it's next week. I'm not sure, but it's coming up. So we're hoping to see Jack. But I am so grateful that Mark Helm is going to join me as a co-host and share the microphone with me each and every week. And Mark, I appreciate you doing that. Good to have you here, friend.
Glad to be here, sir.
Well, your expertise in servicing is just a little bit of a glimpse. You certainly run so many successful mortgage companies. We're going to hear more about that. And while your servicing expertise is probably some of the best in the industry, not some of the best, it is the best in the industry, but you also have owned and operated companies. So your knowledge of the capital markets and originations and virtually everything is there. And you also is working with me and is one of the consultants and coaches and is doing a stellar job. So excited to have you here, Mark. And getting into this podcast, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra. They have a automated email notification part of their system for that lets the consumer know at the various stages of each loan, accesses to real-time pipeline information for those of you, the lenders, and say, well, doesn't everyone have it? Yeah, but it's the way Finastra goes about it that's really, really unique. You need to get a demonstration of this product. Take a look at what's going on. You're going to hear a lot more about what is going on at Finastra, because they're making a real effort to come after and go into working with independent mortgage bankers. Now, we have regulated institutions. Finastra does real well already in the banking community and credit union space. They're coming into the IMB space. So IMBers, get ready. You got to get familiar with Finastra and what they do. Also, Form Free, they do a great job with their auto check, support the Fannie Mae positive rent payment history. Got to hear about that. Christy Moss was on the podcast back in June 20th. Love Christy Moss. She's such a dear friend. She's so passionate. She is like a social media marketing machine just in her phone. She and a cell phone is a machine. They're crazy. Wonderful. But Form Free, and she's a partner with partnered with Brent Form Free. You got to check out what those guys are doing. Some of the most innovative stuff that's going on. We recorded recently another podcast that we'll be releasing shortly. It's really good stuff. Lender Toolkit, you got to get to see what they're doing. Like one of my clients at NRL says, you know, I love what these guys have. They have some of the best suite of all these little products that fit so nicely around our LOS system. Then there's SnapDocs. They have great tools and support the need to implement e-mortgage technology effectively. They do a great job of that. And with the SnapDocs e-mortgage quick check program, it is just makes it just really good. And I know there's different ones that have different products that work in the e-mortgage space. Finally, we're getting some more traction there, but it's great stuff. What they have is just best of breed, best of class. Also, Total Expert is the leading fintech software company that delivers purpose-built CRM and customer engagement tools. What I love about their program is not only does it do great with it when you're interacting with a customer, but it helps you in your recruiting. There's a lot of that going on right now. So check out Total Expert. Also, Simple Nexus does a great job with their program. We had back in June Shane Westra on talking about their vision and what's going on. I got to tell you, we're so proud of the sponsors we have. They're some of the best in the industry. They're the best of breed in their respective areas. Also, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, love their association, and they're what they do with us and our partnership, as well as Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. These two co-ops do a great job of helping you get to know you're getting up close with your peers. Got to check out both these, as well as Success Kit. They do a great job of letting your story be told by a third party. Like, they help you tell your stories, what it basically is. You got to check them out, successkit.io. Also, Knowledge Coop. They have a Houston and Austin live continuing education classes that has a 10% discount. If you go to our show notes and you're looking for continuing education CE credits, you've got to check out what the group at Knowledge Coop is doing. We'll put those credits and the links in our show notes. That it's coming up September 26th in Houston, September 30th in Austin. Ken Perry does some of the best training out there. Some of the best, the best. He would not say, Dave, what are you saying? Some of the best. I do the best. Anyway, hey, when it comes to recruiting, you got to check out both Mobility MMI as well as Modex. These two companies, I think they complement each other really well. But what they also do really well is they help you recruit. So I recommend both of them, but certainly you got to have one of them. Also, Mortgage Advisory Tools, as well as DW Consulting. These are just some of our sponsors. Check out all our sponsors on our Lickin' on Lending website. Always want to say very grateful to Adam DeSantis of the NBA, Les Parker, Matt, David Kittle, who's new to the show. He can't join us today. Alice, Alan, Mark Helm, and, of course, Jack Nunnery. So good to have you all with us. Let's get over and hear what the NBA has today with today's Mortgage Minute.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA submitted a letter to FHA leadership detailing member recommendations for improving the FHA 203K Mortgage Rehabilitation Insurance Program. Based on feedback from MBA members, the letter highlights specific improvements that would make the program more appealing to borrowers and lenders alike, including increasing the cap on limited 203K mortgages, increasing accessibility to consultants, and eliminating second appraisal requirements. Now, switching gears, NBA's Mike Frattantoni, Marina Walsh, and Joel Kahn will provide an in-depth economic and mortgage market forecast presentation at NBA's annual convention and expo happening next month, October 23rd through the 26th in Nashville, Tennessee. For more information on the session and NBA's annual convention, please visit nba.org/annual. Now that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
NBA, the annual's coming up. It's going to be a great one. Great lineup. Get registered. Also, get yourself set up with the Mortgage Action Alliance app to make sure you have your voice heard wherever you are at. Good to have you with us, everybody. Adam DeSantis, thank you so much for that. Les Parker is here, virtually speaking, TM Spotlight. He's actually off in Europe right now. I'm a little envious. Les and his wife flew out this morning, and they're probably still up in the air, but we're going to hear from him what he recorded in the TM Spotlight and a macro view of the markets. Les, what do you have for us today?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
You keep saying no bond fragmentation. Something you call fair, but dispersed. The ECB promises all the Euro nations will borrow at the same rate, but they can only do it by transferring wealth from countries that manage their economies well to countries running large deficits. Is that fair? Eventually, all users of the Euro must agree on fiscal and monetary policy. Otherwise, fragmentation happens. That is, the credit risk trades differently. The faulty euro rewards the dollar and keeps U.S. rates low, so bond credit spreads widen or part.
Are you ready, Bond? Start parting.
These views are my own. Learn more about parting yields at tmspotlight.com.
Oh, yeah. These boots are made for walking. Man, what's going on, Mark? Walking all over the market. Anyway, check out Les Parker's TM Spotlight newsletter. You can sign up and get the paid version for free if you put in the word power for Power Seller and put it in the code. So sign it up, TM Spotlight. It is a really, really good really good newsletter, one you should read every day. Some of the leaders in the industry, some of the top leaders in the industry, me being one of them, it reads it, and it's good material. Mark, you like that. You love Les Parker's newsletter. I know you get a chance to to read it. Yeah, so I love your thoughts on that. So, well written, and he gives so many deep insights. Like Alice Alvey says, she says it is one of the best when it comes to being the most accurate too. But we have someone else who's more accurate than anybody because he publishes live data. I'm talking about Matt Graham, founder, CEO of MBS Live. And he's here with a market update. And guess what? He just pushed out an alert while on hold. This guy can multitask like nobody else. He pushed out a negative alert. Negative repricing increasing for some lenders may, after bumpy 10-year auction. Talk to us, Matt. What do you got? Good to have you, man. Good to, how you doing, Brad?
Hey, good to be here, Dave. Hope you had a good weekend. So, yeah, we'll get to that bumpy 10-year auction here in a second. Wasn't the end of the world, but a little bit of turbulence in the middle of the trading day. And let's just take a quick trip back to memory lane last week and talk about rates jumping up to be roughly in line with the highest levels in 14 years as far as mortgages are concerned. Treasury yields didn't get quite as high, but pretty close. So it was culmination of an entire month and then a few extra weeks of a rising rate trend that began in August as economic data improved and central banks remained hawkish and cautioned against inflation maybe being too soon to declare victory against. Sorry, terrible sentence. I'll try to make the next one better. So central bankers wanted the market to remember just because we had a few good inflation reports in July, not to get carried away and assume that we had turned the corner on inflation just yet.
Right.
And that's part of why the European Central Bank hiked 75 bips last week. And that put more upward pressure on European yields than U.S. yields. But U.S. yields rose at the beginning of the week for a couple of reasons. Number one, traders coming back into the office after holiday weekends. And sometimes, you know, there's just going to be a preponderance of trading positions on one side of the trade or the other. And in this case, more sellers came back to the office. And we also had that compounded by stronger economic data in the morning of the same day, ISM, non-manufacturing. So when people hear ISM, maybe not everybody knows what that is, but it's important because ISM publishes two different manufacturing and non-manufacturing indices. Well, two different indices. One's manufacturing, one's non-manufacturing. And they are big market movers, or they can be. They're sort of better versions and more granular versions of GDP, but not nearly as stale. And they are suggesting that the talk of a recession last month was entirely premature, showing healthy expansion in the services sector, business activity. Just to give you an idea, anytime the index is over 50.0, that's considered to be expansion, although make a case that it's really 52 for a few reasons, but that sort of gets in the weeds, technically speaking. Let's just call it 50. And this business activity index came in at 60.9. Forecasters were expecting 57.0. So quite a big discrepancy between expectations and reality. More healthy economic data keeps expectations high that the Fed will keep rates high and keep rate hike levels high at the upcoming meeting. Speaking of that upcoming meeting, that is what is coming up next week, September 21st. Incidentally, I'll be live casting that meeting from the Massachusetts Mortgage New England Mortgage Bankers Conference and in sunny Rhode Island. So hit their website if you want to come see me for that. But the big to-do this week, CPI, the Consumer Price Index on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. And this is and has been the biggest inflation anecdote as far as the market has been concerned for several months now, even though the Fed is well known for preferring the PCE, core PCE price index. It is CPI that moves the market and CPI that sort of gives that sneak preview of how PCE may come out. And it is the only sense of CPI between now and next week, obviously, because it only comes out every month. So what's at stake here, Dave, is that the market could digest whatever comes out tomorrow morning. And depending on how far it falls from the forecast, they could really get carried away. I don't think necessarily that we're talking about upping the odds of a 75 BIP Fed rate hike to 100 BIPs. But if it were significantly stronger than expected, that is indeed a possibility. And if it were significantly weaker than expected, the market may price in higher odds of a 50 basis point hike. Right now, maybe 90% of the market thinks 75 BIPs. So it's quite well priced in.
Yeah, it's pretty priced in.
Yeah, and it's already reflected in current prices. So if CPI were to come in as expected, it doesn't necessarily need to result in a lot of volatility. But if it's much higher than expected, and then if it's joined by additional data later in the week that also suggests higher inflation, stronger growth, now the market's going to expect an extremely hawkish announcement from the Fed next week, and things could get a little bit carried away. I think trading levels could get pushed back up to recent highs. Mortgage rates would go higher than they are now. There's some limiting factor due to the fact that 10-year treasury yields and mortgage rates are based on the longer part of the yield curve, and traders tend to think that if the Fed gets really aggressive, then things will deteriorate in the long term, economically speaking, to such an extent that it limits the damage in those longer term rates. But that's really a moving target, and there's no way to say for sure if we have seen the highest rates of the year at this point, now that we are so close to them yet again with more data and more Fed communications yet to come. So big, yes. big possibilities in both directions coming up over the next 2 weeks and 2 months.
Crazy. We didn't think we were going to see this. I mean, there was many of us who were
really
saying, I mean, this kind of has come in as a bit of a surprise. So unanticipated, we thought, well, we've hit the highs of the year. Now we should be heading down into that. And anyway, appreciate you.
Yeah, I think the surprise, Dave, is just how resilient the economic data has been. I don't think people expected, after we had, you know, the negative GDP and all the talk of recession and these Fed rate hikes, people didn't see this other economic data coming out so strong, and especially the labor market data coming out as strong as it did last month, and then still very respectable in the most recent report.
So true, so true. Mark Helm, any thoughts on the MAT report?
Well, it's going to lead pretty good into what I'm going to talk about.
Oh, good.
So I'll be sure to save those comments for when I get started.
When you get started on the servicing side, yeah. Matt, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your website again. I keep talking about it. People have not experienced it. They need to experience it. Just get out here, take a look at it. It should come with a warning. You too could get hooked like everyone else has, because it's just such a good job. And I love the commentary. There's times my eyes go around to different parts of this website I find myself doing, but I love the live updates, what you do those, but also how you cut and paste in really important interviews that are going on out there. And you put that in the news section. This is the news section. I got to turn around. Look at that right now. It is. Yeah, the market summary stuff. That is just really brilliant. What you do is, I love it. I love it. The way it's formatted, everything. Just pleasing to the eyes and so much information. And it kind of makes you look smarter when it sits behind you all the time. Fortunately, I do understand most of what's on that thing. But it's I love that. I love your perspective. So, Matt, thank you so much for being here each and every week.
Fun. Thank you, Dave.
Enjoy that. So we were talking about cooler temperatures up in the Pacific Northwest up there in Portland where he's at. So it's all relative. But anyway, sign up for mbslive.net. And when you sign up, put in LOL in the sign-up code, and you'll get the extended trial period without the requirement of a credit card. It's always nice. All right. Mr. Kittle just texted us and said he cannot join us today. Normally, we're getting him in here and talking about production and all of those good things. But if you knew what happened to David Kittle, he had a big major water leak today. It was a while back. And he was traveling, of course. He does a lot of traveling. And it just ruined the hardwood floor. So all the hardwood floors have been in, but his kitchen cabinets all came in. So he says, Dave, I don't have a quiet place in my house to be able to do a podcast. So he sends all of our listeners a big warm hello. And Alice, we're not sure what happened to Alice today. She's just AOL. We're at, there's AOL and LOL. I guess I didn't think about that. But anyway, we do have Alan Pollock here. He always brings us a lot of information and sometimes some really good jokes along with some really corny ones. But Alan, good to have you here, friend. How you doing, friend?
Oh, great. Good to be here. I've got some, the same
corny
gentleman that invented the taco maker, right?
Yeah.
I found him online. The inventor, and I found all of his
inventions. Research to be so strange. I'm sure it is so strange.
Yeah. So I've got enough things that this gentleman has made so many things, and he keeps inventing them, that they're things you'd never think of. And I'm sure, you know, he's eventually going to hit it big. I don't know if the taco maker did it for him or not, but you ready for this one, David? This is a good one. It is the letter shredder. And so it's next to your mailbox.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh,
and as you go through the mail at your mailbox,
okay.
That's right. You stick it in the shredder. And it's a box that kind of wraps around and connects to your mailbox, and then you empty it into the garbage and you take the garbage out.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Right.
No need to bring the shredder or the dirty mail into the house, right? Shred it right there on site.
Shred it right there. It's a COVID prevention move, I'm sure.
That's right.
That's yeah. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to buy a shredder to put it out there. I'm not sure. But I just said, the mail, when it comes, I just go walk right to the garbage can and just start pitching the stuff into the garbage right now as on my way to the house. Make a little detour right in there. But maybe I should hook a shredder up to it. Maybe that'd be a good idea.
Well, you know, David, fraud is on the rise, and it's one of the items in my report today.
Well,
tech firm Aquarius, they have just implemented what they call Aquarius Detect. It's a comprehensive fraud detection solution for mortgage small businesses and consumer lenders. And now that I'm not reading word for word, basically what it does is it uses the data and analytics to determine fraud workflows and any data that doesn't seem right. It also indicates potential file tampering that may have occurred within the document. But we all know fraud's on the rise, whether it's fraud on the mortgage side or fraud on the consumer side, it's a big deal. So, So David, a letter shredder can help others from stealing those credit card offers you're always getting and help you save a lot of money.
Yep.
Let's continue with a couple other things. I did
get a notification from Chase where I have one of my credit cards, and I don't have many credit cards anymore, but Chase is my favorite credit card company right now. Anyway, I got a notification because of the security. I researched who has the best security and combined with who has the best frequent flyer points program. So Chase came up at the top of the list, and so I did it. But they notified me, hey, did you buy this? And it's instant. You go Y for yes, N for no. But if you say no, your credit card that's in your wallet you might as well just throw it away because it's worthless because you get a new credit card in the mail within a short period of time. But such a pain. But I'm grateful for that. It'd be that much better than paying for things that are not yours. But Alan, I interrupted you.
Yeah, that's a great topic, David. You know, I also have Chase, and I have another bank as well. And with Chase, it's fantastic because other banks, when you call the fraud department, you could be at a store trying to buy something, and it's denied, and you have to call them and wait 20 minutes on the phone to get through to someone to tell them if you approve it.
Yeah.
So the text message works great. But, yes, if you hit no, everything's just shut off forever. And
I know.
It takes 2 weeks to get a new one in the mail, where other banks are generating digital numbers or they're generating cards on site. So all the tech and the amazing functionality that exists, right, there's a disconnect between the ability to get cards much quicker. It seems like it's going to a snail mail fulfillment center that probably does VOIs for the mortgage industry as well, let's assume.
I just got a text message from one of our listeners. I just got to tell you that, Alan, why is it that credit cards we're not seeing them just start appearing in our wallets? I mean, our e-wallets. I'm thinking of my iPhone. You have an iPhone.
I agree.
Why are they not just going right there? I want more of those credit cards in there. I don't want to carry credit cards. I have a little pouch in the back of my phone that I carry all my credit cards in now. But why don't we just have it there? So we'd get paperless. I mean, cardless, plasticless.
Well, I know other countries are almost 100%, you know, digital currency. And that's not just, you know, credit cards in your wallet, but also digital currencies. But anyways, their payments process, we've been trying to follow them in the U.S. for many years. We're getting there. All the big firms like you know, Fiserv as an example, the majority of the revenue comes from payments. So mm-hmm. there are a number of folks that are pushing that direction. But I completely agree. It's so convenient, easy. It is secure. And,
it is.
We'll see if that continues. But why get this card in the mail that somebody can steal and put in their own mailbox paper shredder?
Yep.
So David, let's talk about two things real quick. On top of the fraud detection, which was I didn't even realize the mailbox shredder would lead into that. That was great. One is pivoting. If you're a tech vendor and you're listening to this podcast, we're always focusing on the lender. You have to remember right now is the time that you pivot. You decide how many things are we trying to sell? Why are we making it so confusing? Why are we investigating time and effort and selling things that aren't going to make it out on the roadmap, leading people to just be upset later or selling, you know, shadow puppets? Now is the time to pivot. Maybe focus on a specific product that is going to help with what is actually trending and what is needed. Maybe focus on partnerships. It may just be a the front face of a partnership, having no technology needed at all, but that partnership helps clients do better, meaning lenders do better with your technology. So now is the time to start thinking and pivoting. If you haven't done so already, you can shoot me an email. I'm more than happy to talk about it. I've done it a few times myself. And then, David, the other thing I wanted to mention is Fannie Mae's CIO, Raymond Richards, he mm-hmm. did there's a video on YouTube. You can just Google it. Called Mortgage Lending's Digital Future. And
Ooh.
He has many points in there, but he has four points that I thought were just absolutely on target for everything going on in the world today. The first one, right, and these are in the order that he listed them, automation into underwriting, right? Now's the time. All these vendors, even Acrolis that just had the fraud detection workflow, all of these automated vendors out there to read the data, to have access to digital documents, all that stuff, automating the underwriting process, deciding the easy loans, the hard loans, the defective loans, right? That's where you want to be. The second thing is just your data strategy, right? What is your data? What does it tell you? I could spend a week talking about some of the tools and things that even I use that's out there, but data strategy externally and internally is extremely important. Raymond Richards also said building a team to foster innovation, right? There are 30-plus vendors out there that touch every single loan that you close on. Well, what is your team? How are you innovating on that? Are you just expecting what your peers are doing? Are you getting it from a conference, or are you truly innovating your process, right? Use the data, use the automation, and foster some innovation, but getting folks that are out there. And then the last thing is training skill sets, internal people. It's not even a tech play. Training your internal folks on training and enhancing their skill sets. Those are out of the many that he had in there. And again, it's the Fannie CIO, Raymond Richards, done Mortgage Lending's Digital Future. You can find it online. It's a great YouTube video. And those are the four top things that I thought were just absolutely just on target and in line with everything we've been doing.
Yeah, we got to go. I got to look up that. What's his name and where? How do we search for it in YouTube again?
Sure. It's the Fannie Mae CIO. His name is Raymond Richards. And he just did a breakdown of Mortgage Lending's Digital Future. I can send the link over to you, David, and we can
share
it. Yeah,
would you mind if we put it in the show?
Well.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, super easier for our listeners. That's interesting. Yeah, I do pay attention to what they say. They got a pretty good sized budget. They have unique view on the perspective and the market. So, Alan, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
As always, thanks.
Always, it's good to have you. Stay on because I'm wanting, as we get into this discussion with Mark here, and just want to get Mark report, then I want to talk about profitability. I want to talk about profitability from that standpoint. Matt, if you could hang in here too, because I think it's going to be really interesting. I know you got to watch the market, so we always know you hang in here for a little while, Matt, but sometimes the markets demand your attention, but if you can, that'd be great. So let's get over to Mark Helm. By the way, you want to get a hold of Alan Pollack, send in your tech report thoughts and also some things you're turning up. Be sure to text Alan or email Alan at Alan, A-L-L-E-N, at ms-advisors.com. Alan, good to have you here. Let's get over to Mark Helm. Mark Helm is senior executive partner here at Transformational Mortgage Solutions. And he is best known as the servicing guy. He knows everything you could ever want to know about servicing and Jenny Mae, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac approvals. Mark Helm, good to have you here. Glad you've joined me as a co-host. Appreciate you.
Thank you, David. You know, it's really funny when you, you're thinking about your podcast a few days in advance, and I had all in my mind a couple of days ago exactly what I wanted to handle, and then I realized there needs to be a precursor to that, and it's really kind of funny. The precursor has been supported by Matt and Alan's conversation here today.
Oh, really?
So I think I'll go in that direction. So on the back burner a little bit is going to be our topic of the anatomy of servicing a mortgage, a successful, I should say, mortgage servicing retention for those folks who haven't started retaining servicing. And I really want to talk a little bit about the anatomy and to somewhat the psychology of just making a decision to retain your servicing and some best practices and smart things that we need to think about. And I'd like to kind of go through those if we could.
Good.
The most important thing I want to talk about is being in the market today. We got some things that are going to affect mortgage servicing as much as they affect everything else. They're going to affect the value of mortgage servicing, the retention of mortgage servicing, the satisfaction of the customers in mortgage servicing, default in mortgage servicing. It's the whole gambit. And let me explain why. Right now with the rates high, what it's doing, it's going to start putting pressure on the housing market. There's going to be less homes available because people are not going to be able to afford the homes that go out and want to move. It's
right.
going to somewhat cause a shortfall for those folks that are out there thinking of relocation because and they're going to have a home back XYZ city that they got to sell, and I know all about that. I have a home that's been on the market for about 4.5 months right now. Only had 6 offers, fellas and ladies, 6 offers. And it's a high-end home, not real high-end, but a high-end home. And the most amazing thing about that is that 30 days prior to me putting it on the market in our neighborhood, there was a bidding war for all the properties. So what happened, as soon as the rates started escalating, then nobody was making offers. And we all heard this, and volumes are down in the industry, this astronomical percentage. Well, what that's going to do, it's now going to place a stress on the multifamily market as people try to have dwellings for those people that are going to need a home, first-time home buyers and others that can't afford homes. And one of the interesting things that I heard the other day, and I'm trying to do some research on it to solidify these numbers, but the number just blew me away. It was estimated that about 35% of the college graduates that will graduate in the spring, if the rates stay where they are probably going to go home and live with mom and dad.
Oh, wow. 35%.
There's always been a fair percentage to that. Now, were people getting that number? I don't know, but I've heard it from 2 random sources. But if that number does play out to be true, it makes a lot of sense in many respects because, and some of those people are married couples going home to live with mom and dad on one side because housing is just going to be so cost-preventive for them for rates keep on rising. And right now, it's cost-preventive for a lot of folks, too, coming right out of college and having their first job. So what I'm advocating here in my talk today is to have a precursor to the retention of mortgage servicer for those people thinking about it. And it's a thought-provoking conversation. And I really want to talk about knowing your customer. We have essentially 3 major areas of customers that come into the mortgage servicing portfolios. We got new loan originations that we do ourselves, and we got purchase stuff such as correspondent and wholesale business that comes in. And we've got people, if we're in a bank, that might have been a consumer loan customer that rolled over to a mortgage customer, et cetera. So they come from different places. So one of the most important things out there today for us is know our customer. And what do I mean by that? Well, what I'm advocating today is a couple of things that need to happen in the industry that haven't happened before. The first thing I'm advocating, and it goes back to the fraud discussion we have, we really need to lock down something, and that's the security on our mortgage loans with mortgage servicers. And let me give you an example. I was talking to a person last Wednesday, and the person said to me, Mark, have you ever heard of this before? I have a rental property in North Carolina, and he's from North Carolina, and I have a rental property up there too. And he said, I got a phone call, and a guy asked me if I wanted to sell my property. And I said, no, not really. And he says, well, you only owe $42,000 on it. And the guy said, well, how do you know what I owe? And he said, I'm sitting here looking at a payoff statement. The idea that a third party can now get a payoff statement on your mortgage loan just because all mortgage companies out there work off a loan number, which is on
right.
your recorded document.
Right.
They work
right.
off a Social Security number that's more public than we all want to admit. They work off
right.
of cell numbers that everybody can get to by paying for a service online. So your mortgage loan is not really secure anymore. And so what I'm advocating to the people with the subservicing systems and the servicing systems, et cetera, to add some of this verification coding where you give a secret password and you get an email sent to your phone and you answer your phone, accept it, then it gives you a password that you can give to the person on the phone or online so you can access your mortgage account. So that's very important. And the reason why I'm going into this is why is because we've got some steps we need to do when our customers are coming in. It needs to be done at the origination process or in the post-closing process or the interim servicing process or the actual servicing process of your tension. We need to talk to our customers, and we need to survey those customers because we need to better understand today more than ever where our customers are coming from and where they're going. And how do we do
mm-hmm.
that? We
yeah.
need to know some things. We need to know, we don't need to know detail, but we need to know, are you married and have children? Is this your first home? Are you thinking about moving at some time in the future? Are you open to changing jobs and moving out of state? And these are things you can capture on a internal system. You can develop your own system
right.
for this. And then we look at them and say, would you be interested in products that we screen that we could recommend and to be helpful for you? And not the old-timey products where you sell them some insurance that costs five times what they could buy it for on the street themselves, but products
right.
that are meaningful, like homeowner warranty programs, like credit protection programs that are out there, and more of the homegrown insurance and programs like that can be sold to people where you can still have a licensed agent on board and still make a commission on it, but it's a reasonable market compared to the outside people that sell the same product out there. And what you do is you start developing a personality to your customer, because then when that person calls in, you know how to deal with them on the phone. Let me give you an example, and I will speed up here a little bit David, I'm just loaded with information today. So
yeah.
So here's one of the things that comes up. You got a person that goes into default. Why not tell these people up front that you'll do what some of the credit card companies are doing today? Mr. Jones, if you ever get into a problem on your loan, or Ms. Jones, call us and tell us you're having a problem making a payment. And that first time that happens, guess what we'll do? We'll waive the late charge for you. And Mr. and Mrs. Jones, if we ever have to do a workout on your loan, if you sign up for a repayment plan and you make it work at the end of that program, we'll either greatly reduce your late charge balance as part of the workout program or eliminate it completely. Being proactive with your customers so they'll come back to you and ensure that customer makes their first call, no matter what conduit they came from, wholesale, retail, correspondent, that they make that first call to you for a refi, because that's very, very important. And also an education process. And one of the products I can speak of, I offer. And it's a product where we look at mortgage servicing portfolios and find out who has tax exemptions that they don't know about. And we identify what exemptions people have and what are available to them. And there's so many people out there, believe it or not, folks, that do not have their base senior exemptions or homestead exemptions on their property. And those amounts can save them 25 to 35%
yes.
of their taxes in many jurisdictions in the country. So that's very important for them. So what I'm advocating today from my presentation, protect your loan, know your customer, service your customer, and you know what? Use all this information you gather to train your customers so you, when they call in that first time, you can assess them. Are they just calling in to check their balance or checking the late charge? Or they got something else on their mind? Because you need to get that customer talking to you so you know what the future holds and how you can best deal with the customer's concerns and all. Now, next time we talk, we're definitely going to go into the anatomy of servicing retention, and I call it the psychology of servicing retention too, because there's a lot of things you got to talk about. But first, we got to learn how to know our customer and take care of our customer. And just because we originate a loan, that doesn't say we know everything we need to know. Remember those things I talked about today, and I think you'll be a much more successful person with your mortgage servicing portfolio, whether you service it or have it subserviced, or whether you retain it or whether you sell it, because you've got a good chance, if you do that in post-closing, when those, your loan goes away, if you sell it to third party, there's a good chance those people know you care about them and they're going to call you when they buy a new home. Thank
That's
you, Dave.
Amazing. Great stuff. 35% of college graduates, even married, are going to live it with one of their parents because they can't afford to buy a home these days. That's amazing. Great stuff. Good information all the way around. I think it's so important to have all those. I mean, there's so much you covered there that people need to go in and download. You can go into the website, lickitonlending.com, and go look for Mark's comments. We're posting all those up on the website, and those will be posted, and you grab them there and share them with your company. One guy just wrote me, says, I want to download these or make them available to my servicing staff. This is good information. Thank you, Mark. Love it. Well, I want to talk a little bit about when we go, before we wrap up the podcast, so many people struggling with right-sizing their company. We're going to have David Kittle coming on with his team in about 2 weeks and sharing a podcast that we recorded about how to right-size your company. But it is a real struggle. So here's interesting information. And Matt, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. Alan's on it from a tech standpoint. Of course, Mark, it's your perspective. What's interesting, Mark, is that when we go out and contact our warehouse lenders, we work with almost all the warehouse lenders out there in some capacity, form or fashion, one way or another. Some we consult directly to, some we just do the warehouse reviews, but we're all, and because of the amount of referrals we give out, we're in great relationship with all of them. And they're all saying this: there is not enough cutting going on. And right now it's about 50-50 is the number of lenders that they are banking. It was this way last month. 50-50 are profitable. We're finding an indication, alarming indication, that it is actually getting worse. It's now 60-40 in many cases. Most warehouse lenders will all admit, yep, we're 50-50. 50% of the people we're banking are not profitable. And the ones that are profitable are hanging on to their noses just barely above the water. In other words, they're just barely eking out a report, a profit. And those that are, Mark, seem to have a servicing portfolio. Isn't that interesting? Thought you'd get your thoughts on that. That's a good reason to have servicing. Mark, are you there?
I'm sorry, I didn't push the mute button there.
No, that's right.
You know, servicing portfolios are a real plus for companies that are struggling right now with the volumes. And the reason why they are, they're giving you something that's growing in value right now because the rates are going to slow down payoffs and increase retention and make the portfolio more valuable. And those values on the portfolio can translate into your financial statements to put you in a much, much better position. And if you need to, like some companies have done, if you need to sell some of that servicing to exercise against that cash that you need, you're going to get a better value from it because of the prepayment speed. So that's very important of what's happening in the environment today. But my caution that I say, and I don't want to throw this to the wind, I want to make this solid, is you got to be really, really careful when you're cutting personnel inside a mortgage company, that you just don't do cuts across the board and cut servicing when your servicing portfolio has not gone down. Don't mean you can't fine-tune it. But don't ever walk into a servicing outfit and say, well, the whole company cut 10%. So servicing, guess what? You got to cut 10% too. Can 10% be attained? Over time, it certainly can through outsourcing, looking at domestic, non-domestic outsourcing, better technology to take care of your customers, and a special vendor relationship. There's a lot of different ways you can reduce staffing and responsibilities internally, so you can reduce some staff. Without it's not something you try to figure out after the fact, David.
Yeah, and doing so in a manner that isn't irresponsible in the servicing area, because that you're so spot on right with that comment. Matt, you have your wonderful website here, and I love it, and because you have this MBS live chat. Any sense of profitability? And I know a lot of LOs are on there, but you also have some executives that use your system, have it there, commenting. Any feel for profitability, Matt, from your perspective on what you're seeing on your screens?
I mean, in terms of specifics, no. But in terms of the general tone of the conversation, yes, it's a really tough environment and a lot of cutthroat pricing going on where, you know, lenders are trying to price other lenders into oblivion. And I'm not sure what the end game is there, but it's not happy in the short term and not sustainable in the long term.
That isn't. And we're seeing a lot of negative, I mean, pricing through the floor to the point where it's like, you know, predatory to drive out your competitors and capture, and they're using it as a recruiting tool. It's so true. It's
right.
Just negative, negative. Alan, can they cut? Mark talked about cutting in the servicing area. Your thoughts on cutting technology? Is there too much technology budget? Is there a budget you can, or do you really feel like your perspective, you're watching the lenders trying to cut there, and they go, we just can't. That's one of the ways we gain efficiencies. Alan?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I'm going to say something that I'm going to make tech vendors not so thrilled with me. but the reality is you can't stop spending on tech, right? We know that.
That makes the lenders happy. No, maybe the lenders happy, but it'll make the vendors pretty happy. But it's true.
Well, my next comment is going to be, it's going to be the tech piece. I think there's a lot of overpaid people in tech for when companies were strategically building, whether on the lender, but more on the vendor side, when people were strategically building and trying to sell, there's a lot of cheats. And I think there's too many cheats. And I think that, you know, if you take the advice of Fannie Mae and you train internally and you teach people new skills and help them rise in their career, but also you'll learn more about your business and you'll use the data. And on the servicing side of the fence, to answer that one more directly, there's so much data there that we're not using to either, one, understand our clients, right? Financial institutions make minimum 7-year investments into their members. I mean, these are loans that could prepay. These are opportunities to consolidate debt. Now, all the tech's not there to do it all digitally and automatically, but these are opportunities. These are customer relationships. And I think the data, before you start cutting people, you may have to, right? Budgets are budgets,
yep.
And income's income. But before you start cutting people, I would make sure you understand your customers, and you train and you use that data.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those things in your area, the tech area, where there can be a real strong argument for a variable cost model, because there are things you can do. You do not have to support it with an expensive, huge amount of staff. There are variable ways, variable cost banners. You can do that. Comment?
Yeah, I mean, you can work with your vendors to come up with a monthly minimum, right? So they're guaranteed some income, and they can, you know, put resources towards the relationship. And then you can have a variable model after that, right?
Yeah.
I think you'd find a lot of acceptance on something like that.
Yeah. We just went on a phone call just before we got on the podcast with James Harrison of Independent Financial and Dre, his boss. And we were talking about the importance of really lenders focusing in on a variable cost model. In fact, it was such a good conversation. I've invited him. We're going to record a podcast and share it with us, with our audience later. But Jim Harrison is such a fan of the podcast, and so we give him a shout out. And then he says, you got to get my boss on. He talks about this all the time. I know Dre for years. Great guy. And so we're looking forward to having that topic, variable costs. And it's more expensive when the times are going strong, but boy, it's so valuable right now in these kind of markets because you pay for just that loan funding. What are they projecting for the tech spend? What are more and more people? Are they just saying, I don't care what technology is out there, Alan, I'm done. I mean, I've got, like Anthony Shea said at the Loan Depot, I've got technology indigestion. It can't handle anymore. I'm stuffed.
Yeah, that was great when he made that comment.
Yeah,
we've heard the term in the industry for a long time, David, right? Death by a thousand cuts as far as how people are getting billed. So there's a lot of tech and there's a lot of cost. And folks have had both sides of the opinions on both sides of the coin, right? I like the all-in-one solution where it's an LOS and they have a lot of features. And then I like also having multiple vendors. Some of it's from a risk mitigation perspective, but there are a lot of folks involved. And, you know, look at what Apple's doing in the industry. Apple, there's a lot of great companies that come up with these cool little ideas. Apple buys them or Apple makes something that matches them, and then everything's native to the phone, right? But you have one vendor, one invoice, one experience. You just have to make sure you're partnered with the right vendor that one experience doesn't go down. But I do think over time we'll see a consolidation because there's a lot of vendors, David, and there's a lot of you know, death by a thousand cuts. And sometimes it's hard to manage as a lender. You have too many people and too much risk.
You get annoyed too. I just have guys says, I don't care. It's just it's an emotional response because they're looking at all these checks that are going out or they're proving the invoices being paid on and go, this is crazy. But you got to look at it in the whole.
By the way,
Yeah.
How many chiefs do you need for each relationship, right? How many people do you need to manage? How many PMs to manage all the different vendors that are out there?
Great question. You got an answer?
Oh, no. Definitely not. We'll need the
There's a lot of questions.
To give us,
that's
yeah. Right.
There are a lot of questions in the marketplace today, Alan, that there are no questions. There's no answers for. Like, when is this going to stop? Matt tried. We got Matt's reporting here back here. But Matt, you can't tell us, nor you wisely say not going there. I report the facts, nothing but the facts. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. You try to let the market speak for themselves. That's smart guy, Matt.
I don't like being wrong. So, you know, let's wait and find out.
Let's wait right now. There's a lot of wisdom in it. Well, that, folks, that wraps up this podcast. Mark Helm, you got any parting comments for us? Any wisdom you want to?
Yes, sir. I want to share three quick things so some people can get some meat into it. Some of the places my numbers came from in mid-2019, it was Forbes that said that over 50% of the young adults are thinking about moving back home after they finish college. And then if you look at last year, about a year ago, it said overall 32% of young adults live at home today. The percentage is even higher for 36% of the young adults without a college education. It's even higher. And if you go on down and look at it more recently, and you look at more recent dates, you can look at basically the Bureau of Labor Statistics said that they're saying that 54% of the students in college are considering moving back home with their parents. And that's
wow.
A survey they did. So the numbers are, the 35 might be real conservative.
Well, I think that explains, yeah, that is real conservative. I really do believe that, because when you look at the outplacement, I was riding on an airplane and she started talking and just graduated. I said, oh, exciting. How are you doing? She said, I don't have a job. I said, and she told me what her degree was in. I go, yeah, no kidding. There's no jobs for that. And she said, what are you doing? She says, I'm graduating with $250,000 of college debt. I'm going home to live with my parents. He says, I am so freaking depressed. It is just so disgusting, which means we got to go back and look at the whole educational system. Why are we spending that much money educating to where there is a no job situation and it's back home to the room you grew up in? Oftentimes, a lot we could talk about this. Great trends. This is good discussion. Thank you so much, everyone. Mr. Matt up there in Portland, Alan Pollock out there in Florida or wherever he's at, and Mark Helm. Again, are you in Florida or are you in Houston or where?
I'm in Florida to Wednesday, then going to Alabama.
Going to Bama. All right. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for joining in the podcast. Special thank you to our sponsors. We have Finastra, Form Free, Lender Toolkit, SnapDocs, Total Experts, Simple Nexus, as well as the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modix, the Mortgage Advisory Tools, as well as DW Consulting. Check them all out on our website, Lickin' On Lending, under Advertisers. We appreciate you. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to having you back here next week. Oh, by the way, listen to the podcast, special podcast we're releasing on KELQ. KELQUE. We're releasing that on Wednesday this week, and you've got to pay attention. It is a new tool for your lending toolkit that you can have out there to help get more business going in this market. Have a great one, everybody. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.